Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Democratic Attorney General Bob Ferguson and Republican Reichert advance in the governor's race in Washington's primary. Republican Baumgartner and Democrat Conroy advance in the 5th District Congressional race. And two Republicans will face off in November for the 4th District Congressional seat, Sessler and incumbent Newhouse. Washington has its first case of chronic wasting disease among ungulates. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife has announced they have found the first case of chronic wasting disease in the state. Wildlife officials found the disease in the carcass of a white-tailed deer, which was living in the Fairwood area north of Spokane. The detection of the always fatal brain disease means the wildlife disease is now in 25 states and 4 Canadian provinces. Chronic wasting disease spreads among deer, elk, and moose. Last year, wildlife officials in California, Indiana, and British Columbia reported their first cases of the disease. The disease was first detected in Colorado in the 1960s, and Montana had its first case in 2017, while Idaho had its first case in 2021. Fish and wildlife agents plan to collect tissue from other animals in the Fairwood area to determine how severe the outbreak is. Eric Gardner, who is the wildlife program director for the agency, told the Spokesman Review the department will announce additional wildlife management actions soon in reaction to the outbreak. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Washington chapter co-chair Josh Weiland said, "The only path forward is to create greater public awareness and get animals tested." Although no cases of chronic wasting disease have been transmitted to humans, health officials say people should not eat meat from infected animals. Chronic wasting disease occurs when natural proteins in the animal's cells misfold. Those proteins are called prions. The disease attacks the nervous system of deer, elk, and moose and is transmitted on the landscape or by animals rubbing against each other. Infected animals shed the misfolded prions, which move on to other animals. Wildlife officials say deer and elk do not show most symptoms until the late stages of the disease. At that point, deer and elk can show erratic behavior and become emaciated. Washington wildlife officials stepped up their testing for the disease in the eastern part of the state in 2021 after Idaho officials reported their first case. During a 12-month period ending in July of this year, the state tested 796 samples, which hunters and others voluntarily submitted, and all of those tests were negative. The positive sample was found by the Washington Animal Disease Laboratory at Washington State University last month. Idaho Fish and Game has held special hunts in the Slate Creek drainage near Whitebird to cut deer population densities in an effort to limit the spread of the disease. Washington State University's 96-year-old academic publisher, the WSU Press, will close in December. School officials decided last month to eliminate the $300,000 in funding that kept the WSU Press running. The publishing arm employs 3 full-time and 1 part-time staff in Pullman. It has published books by dozens of authors who wrote about the history and culture of Washington and the Northwest. Editor-in-chief Linda Bathgate told Seattle radio station KIRO, "With the beginning of the fiscal year on July 1st, 2024, Philip Weiler, who's our Vice President of University Marketing and Communications, had to make a 7.5% cut in the budget for the group, and he decided to cut the funding for the university press. We're the only publisher that really covers the Inland Empire, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and we work a lot with tribal communities to provide an outlet for their stories. So we feel that this was a very short-sighted and maybe not a well-thought-out decision, maybe just a financial decision, but without consideration to the repercussions. I think it will give WSU a lot of poor press because nobody likes to see these kinds of institutions disappear, and we are part of the land-grant mission that WSU has to provide an outlet for research to educate the community. It feels like the efforts that we've been doing for the last 96 years are really just not even considered, are just tossed away, and that they're not of any value in today's academic community. So it's very discouraging. Idaho Governor Brad Little told the Idaho Association of School Administrators last week the state remains committed to boosting literacy. Little was reacting to news that state reading scores were lower than targeted during the last year. Speaking at the association's annual summer conference, Governor Little noted state lawmakers voted to commit $1.5 billion to school facilities, increased teacher pay by 16%, and invested $47 million in literacy, much of which will go towards funding full-day kindergarten. Governor Little said all that investment won't do the state any good if literacy does not improve for all kids, all classes, and all communities. The governor said, "I have to justify to legislators why we put that big amount of money into literacy. Some of the districts have done an incredible job, but unfortunately, on average throughout the state, we've got more work to do. I'm committed to helping you with the resources for those kids." The Idaho Reading Indicator scores increased a bit since 2023, but the scores have continued to fall short of state goals. Literacy rates in Idaho remain lower than pre-pandemic levels. The Idaho Education News reports 66.5% of students in the state read at grade level, but that's down from 70% in 2019.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. For more information, visit loveskombucha.com.
We now have election results for the Washington primary. Because Washington counts mail-in ballots that are postmarked by Election Day, election offices will continue counting ballots as they arrive over the next couple of weeks. There will be later tallies. Races that are close between the second and third place candidates may be decided later. However, there weren't a lot of close races between second and third place candidates. In the race for Washington governor, there were 28 candidates. It appears Democratic Attorney General Bob Ferguson and Republican Dave Reichert will advance to the November general election. Ferguson has 45.5% of the vote with 459,400 votes. Republican Dave Reichert is second with 27.9% of the vote, or 282,000 votes. Republican Semi Byrd is in third place with 9.4% of the vote, and Democrat Mark Mullett is in fourth place with 5.8% of the vote. The 59-year-old Ferguson has been Attorney General during Governor Jay Inslee's three terms. Voters first elected him to the position in 2012, and before that he was a King County Council member for two terms, and he also clerked for U.S. District Judge Fremming Nielsen in Spokane. As Attorney General, Ferguson filed dozens of lawsuits against the Trump administration, getting favorable rulings most of the time. Speaking of the second-place candidate, former U.S. Representative Dave Reichert, Ferguson said, "He's not just anti-choice. He voted three times in Congress for a nationwide abortion ban that criminalizes doctors." The 73-year-old Reichert says he is a law and order candidate. Speaking of Ferguson, he says in his 12 years as Attorney General, Ferguson has supported defunding the police. Reichert says he's concerned about climate change, but believes Governor Inslee's landmark Climate Commitment Act should be scrapped because the state needs a longer transition period to move away from gas-powered cars and fossil fuels. He also is against current state policy of not allowing new buildings with methane heating because he believes the policy is driving business out of the state. Speaking of pro-Palestine protesters that blocked a freeway in Seattle for a few hours last year, Reichert said, "There's no consequences anymore for bad behavior." In a three-way primary for Attorney General, Republican Pete Serrano has the most votes with 41.8% of the vote, or 416,000 votes. Democrat Nick Brown, who came in second with 35.9% of the vote, will advance to the November general election against Serrano. The third candidate, also a Democrat, is Mankha Dhingra with 22% of the vote. In the race for Secretary of State, Democratic incumbent Steve Hobbs has the most votes with 49%, and Republican Dale Whitaker is second with 36.8%. The eliminated candidates are Democrat Marquez Tiggs with 9.5% and No Labels Party-aligned Damon Townsend with 4.6%. In the nonpartisan four-way race for Superintendent of Public Instruction, David Olson and incumbent Chris Reichdahl will likely advance to the November general election. Reichdahl has the most votes with 364,000, or 39.6%. David Olson is second with 31.1%. 70,000 votes separate Olson from the third-place candidate, Reed Sarras, who has 23.4% of the vote. John Patterson Blair is fourth with 5.6%. In an unusual situation for a statewide Washington election, two Republicans may advance to the November general election for Commissioner of Public Lands. Republican Jamie Herrera Butler, who lost her seat in the 3rd Congressional District in the 2022 primary because she was one of very few Republicans in Congress who voted to impeach Donald Trump, is leading the pack of seven candidates. Herrera Butler has 22.6% of the vote. Republican Sue Kuehl Peterson is second with 20.3% of the vote, or 198,000 votes. At this point, Dave Up the Grove was third with 19.85%. Only 4,000 votes separate Peterson from Up the Grove. Up the Grove is the leading Democratic candidate in that race. Fourth place is Democrat Patrick DePoe with 13.2%. In the race for the U.S. Senate seat now held by Democrat incumbent Maria Cantwell, Cantwell has 57.8% of the vote, or 579,000 votes. Republican Raul Garcia is second with 21.2% of the vote and will advance with Cantwell to the November general election. Republican Scott Nazareno is third with 5.8%. In the closely watched race for the 5th Congressional District, 10 candidates, 6 Republicans and 4 Democrats, are vying for the Eastern Washington seat being vacated by Republican Kathy McMorris Rogers. It looks like Republican Michael Baumgartner and Democrat Carmela Conroy will advance to the November general election. Michael Baumgartner has 28% of the vote and Carmela Conroy has 19.7%. The Republican Baumgartner is a former state senator and current Spokane County treasurer. Baumgartner is conservative, but apparently 4 more right-wing Republicans split the vote in the primary. Democrat and former Spokane County Democratic Party Chair Carmela Conroy was a U.S. Diplomatic Corps officer until 2020. She had the endorsement of 2 prominent Spokane-area Democratic legislators, Representative Marcus Riccielli and Senator Andy Billig. Conroy has said withholding U.S. aid to Israel could hurt what she calls the security umbrella in the region. In that race, Republican Jacqueline Maycumber was third with 12.2% of the vote. Democrat Bernadine Bank is fourth with 11.6% of the vote. Republican Brian Dansell is fifth with 9.8% of the vote. After that, there's a gap, and Democrat Anne-Marie Danimas is sixth with 5.7% of the vote. Republican Spokane City Councilmember Jonathan Bingle is seventh with 3.4%. Republican right-wing talk show host Renee Halladay, who is a former staffer for controversial Christian nationalist and former state representative Matt Shea, is eighth with 2.9% of the vote. Republican Rick Valentine Flynn, who presented himself as a moderate, was ninth with 2.7%, and Democrat Matthew Weldy was 10th with 2.3%. There was an 11th candidate in the race, Bobby Bennett Walcott, who dropped out but managed to get 1.3.5% of the vote anyway. It looks like two Republicans will face off against each other in November in Washington's 4th congressional district. Republican Jerrod Sessler, a NASCAR driver who Donald Trump has endorsed, had the most votes with 29.7% of the vote. At the suggestion of Trump, Republicans in the conservative Central Washington District have been ganging up on incumbent Republican Dan Newhouse, who is one of only two Republicans remaining in Congress who voted to impeach Trump. Newhouse appears to have survived the primary, coming in second with 35% of the vote. In the wake of January 6th, 10 House Republicans were appalled enough by the attack on democracy fueled by Trump's lies about a stolen 2020 election to vote to impeach Trump. The other Republican who remains in Congress who voted to impeach Trump is David Valadao of California, who represents a district President Biden won in the 2020 election. Every other Republican who voted to impeach Trump in 2021 has retired or lost their run for re-election in 2022. Voters ousted the other House Republican from Washington who voted to impeach Trump in 2022. That was Jamie Herrera Butler of Southwestern Washington's 3rd Congressional District. She lost in the top two primary in August that year, and a Democrat, Marie Glusenkamp Perez, won the general election against MAGA Republican and 2020 election denier Joe Kent. Another Republican is in third place in the primary for Washington's 3rd congressional district. That's Tiffany Smiley with 19.5% of the vote. Smiley ran unsuccessfully against incumbent Democrat U.S. Senator Patty Murray in 2022. The top Democrat in the race came in fourth. She is Mary Batchelor with 15% of the vote. The other two Democrats had a total of 10%, which means only 25% of those voting in the primary voted for a Democratic candidate. There were similar results in the 2022 primary, but Newhouse ended up running against a Democrat in the November general election that year. That was Doug White, who got 25% of the vote in the 2022 primary, with the rest of the Republicans splitting the vote that year. Donald Trump wrote on his social media platform Truth Social in April about Sessler, saying, quote, "Sessler is running against a weak and pathetic Republican in name only named Newhouse, who voted to, for no reason, impeach me." There was a reason to vote to impeach Trump, which was Trump incited a violent insurrection aimed at overturning democracy, which ended up injuring 140 police officers and resulted in at least 5 deaths at the U.S. Capitol. Newhouse, for his part, last month explained his decision to vote to impeach Trump in 2021 to a room full of Grant County Republicans by reminding them every member of Congress took the oath of office 3 days before the January 6th insurrection. The oath includes a pledge to defend the Constitution. Newhouse said, "I took that very literally, or else I couldn't come here and meet with you guys face to face. If I just said those words and didn't mean it, I think I made the right choice for upholding the Constitution. It's not political." In the one three-way legislative race in the 9th District, which includes the cities of Pullman and Clarkston and much of rural eastern Washington, incumbent Republican Joe Schmick of Colfax and Democrat Pam Kollmeyer of Spokane will advance to the November general election. Schmick has 65% of the vote and Kollmeyer has 28.9%. Democrat Arianna Arenz of Spokane, the third candidate in the race, had 6% of the vote. There's also a three-way race for the nonpartisan position of Whitman County Superior Court Judge. All three candidates are Pullman attorneys. As of Tuesday night, Roger Sandberg had 55.9% or 3,153 votes, and Jenna Brozik had 29.2% or 1,646 votes. Steve Martonic was in third place with 14.7% or 831 votes. Sandberg and Brozik will advance to the November general election.
Don't touch that dial.
You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Radio,
you got it right.
Community radio,
listen, you give a little, listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight back radio. 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight back.
Thanks for tuning in and thanks for your support. So keep on listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Fight back. Fight back. Fight back.
Returning to the primary results for Washington Attorney General, Republican Pete Serrano, who got the most votes yesterday, opposes the state's gun control laws and COVID health rules. The 43-year-old Serrano is the director general counsel for the far-right nonprofit called the Silent Majority Foundation, which filed unsuccessful legal challenges to the state's COVID emergency health orders and vaccine mandates that saved thousands of lives in the state. Washington has the sixth lowest COVID mortality rate in the nation. The Silent Majority Foundation also challenged Washington's gun control legislation. An appeals court in Thurston County dismissed Serrano's case against Governor Jay Inslee's use of emergency powers to fight the pandemic in 2022. Serrano got 41.8% of the vote in the top two primary. Democrat Nick Brown will also advance to the November general election. Brown came in second with 35.9% of the vote. The third candidate, also a Democrat, is Manka Dhingra, who had 22% of the vote. The 47-year-old Nick Brown stepped down as U.S. Attorney for Western Washington to run for Attorney General. Brown was a ROTC student at Harvard Law School, and after he got his law degree, he began his stint in the Army, where he was a JAG officer, which means Judge Advocates General Corps. Brown's campaign website says while in the Army, he worked to protect soldiers from fraud and to stop corporations from ripping off military families. He says while working as general counsel for Governor Jay Inslee, he stood up to Donald Trump and his hateful Muslim ban and oversaw Inslee's work to end the death penalty in Washington. President Joe Biden nominated Brown to become the U.S. Attorney for Western Washington, and his campaign website says people praised him for his work fighting drug cartels, sex trafficking, fentanyl, and violent crime. While working for the Inslee administration, he also chaired the Attorney General's Advisory Subcommittee on Civil Rights. The state attorney general manages 800 state-employed attorneys across the state. The winner of this year's election will replace Bob Ferguson, who is running for governor.
Voters in November will decide whether Oregon cannabis workers are allowed to unionize. Measure 119 is the last initiative to qualify for the ballot in Oregon. Miles Ashaya with United Food and Commercial Workers Local 555 says that's an oversight from the initiative in 2014 that legalized marijuana for recreational use.
One of the things that it didn't do was set up the necessary protections for workers. So states like New Jersey, California, New York, when they legalized marijuana at the state level, they had a path for worker protections. And Oregon simply doesn't.
UFCW pushed for a fix from lawmakers in Salem last year, but that ultimately failed. Supporters of Measure 119 submitted more than 163,000 signatures for the initiative in July, well over the 117,000 needed to qualify. But opponents say the measure violates federal labor law. Ashaya says the industry needs to be brought out of the dark and offered greater protections than those provided by the state labor agency.
Something that's rampant in the industry is toxic chemicals, unchecked safety concerns, and lack of proper PPE. Employers often cut corners. They compromise both worker and consumer safety. And you can avoid all that with a collectively bargained agreement and a collectively bargained safety agreement.
Ashaya says organizing the workplace without interference is a right.
Workers across every industry should have the absolute freedom to unionize if they so choose. What this ballot measure really does is just closes an old loophole that deprives certain workers, thousands of workers, from that right.
For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
District judge is expected to decide soon on a case over a state law that would ban abortions with few exceptions. The Life is a Human Right Act claims abortion is not health care, but that could contradict a constitutional amendment Wyoming voters passed in 2012, largely in opposition to Obama's Affordable Care Act, that says each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions. Marcy Kindred with the new group Wyoming United for Freedom says Wyomingites have long valued limited government.
We have always been a traditional live and let live state and believe that these complex, deeply personal healthcare decisions belong only to women, their doctors, their families, and their chosen faith.
The state Supreme Court declined to hear the case in April. The same district judge deciding this case will also decide on Governor Gordon's first-in-the-country measure to ban abortion pills. Wyoming United for Freedom was formed at the end of last year, Kindred says, when other abortion advocacy groups were overwhelmed with work following the overturning of the so-called Dobbs case, in which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion. Abortion access won't be on the Wyoming ballot this November, but Kindred says the group is preparing for action in several scenarios, including if the judge decides that the Constitution protects the right to abortion.
But we will still need to organize to defend against attacks on reproductive freedom from our legislature and make sure that we are electing people that will protect those rights.
In Wyoming, citizens can initiate amendments to state statutes, but only the legislature has the power to introduce measures that change the state's constitution. Opponents of abortion rights want to see the Dobbs case upheld. I'm Kathleen Shannon reporting for Wyoming News Service.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather. Clear tonight, low 56, widespread haze before 10 p.m. Increasing clouds tomorrow, high 87, mostly cloudy tomorrow night, low 58. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon Friday, otherwise mostly sunny, high 89. Partly cloudy, low 57 Friday night, and mostly clear through the weekend, highs 87 Saturday and Sunday, low 56 Saturday night. Currently 84 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. And once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. We got Flashpoints coming up next and Lockdown Mosh Pit, 7:30 to 8:30. Music begins in earnest with Grateful Dead Through the Decades at 8:30 till 10 p.m. with Arlene hosting. And at 10 o'clock, Music from the Future, electronic. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by
Latah Wildlife Association, encouraging hunters to use lead-free ammunition for the benefit of their families, predators, scavengers, and the environment. available online at facebook.com/Latah Wildlife Association. For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
If you want to hear Morning Mix later in the afternoon,
if you want to hear Sounds Chunky for breakfast,
if you want to hear Fiddlin' Owl at night,
if
you want to hear Lockdown Mosh Pit later at night,
it's an on-demand world. KRFP listeners want to hear locally curated shows when they want to, not necessarily when they're on the air.
KRFP On Demand. Listen to all local KRFP radio shows when you want to hear them, where you want to hear them, on the internet. The KRFP 2-Week Archive.
KRFP Archives at krfp.org. Let's take it to the stage. I'm just taking on my-